So, hi.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi,
Stunt
everyone.
Granny
How you
Audio
doing?
676 here, and we are both watching, well, me being Kevin, that being Jeremy. We're watching Impact Wrestling, and I've not done this in quite some time. But hey, they have a crowd. I approve.
Yeah, it's this is worlds better. I can't say I've been keeping up with it because there's been some interesting things going on with them. And Slammiversary, I mean, a bunch of interesting stuff, which is why I wanted to see it today. But I mean, Jay White shows up, Kenny Omega's still on the show. He's still on Impact. I mean, the segment we just saw was there. The reason I wanted to hit record, remember when Juice Robinson was the big thing? He was the New Japan darling. He was like the American face of New Japan.
Yes,
And now he's in a tag team called Finn Juice. He's skinny as hell. Like I don't want to comment on his hair because I don't have any, but he just looks like an indie guy. What the hell happened?
don't, this is the first time I have seen him in a while, and wow, yeah, he has really slimmed down.
And not in a good way. He looks average. I look bigger than he does.
Yeah, like he still looks defined, but yeah, he oof, yeah. Not a good look in my the whole tag team look is not a good look for
No, with those
me.
Harlequin tights on and all that stuff, just
Yeah, not a
no.
fan.
It's yuck. I mean, I'm not disparaging the talent, but you could
Oh.
get away being goofy when you look tough. He just looks like any sort of douche you'd see now, and he's a good guy. Like, okay, maybe over in Japan that's unique and cool, but not here.
Yeah, that's oof.
Damn,
Man.
man. I mean,
Yeah, Juice Robinson cut that. What because did he have like some like kill 'em all promo? Was it after he won the US title? When everyone loved that promo, the IWGP US title.
I want to say it was before. I think, didn't he win some tournament
Oh, yeah, I can't
or something
remember
like
the
that?
situation, but I just remember him having that big promo during it, and it's almost been all downhill since that moment.
Yeah, I just he won the title, got his ass beat by Lance Archer, right? Or was it Jon Moxley?
Moxley, I think.
Okay, because I know Archer beat him, right? And then he got it back, and then Moxley took it. I believe that's how that went.
Oh yeah, I think that's what
All
yeah,
right.
I think you're right.
I mean, my God, that seems like ages ago. And that's
And
kind of the point I'm getting at, is it seems like ages ago he was relevant. Like, he
oh.
came here. And it wasn't enough for me to go see. Because I remember when New Japan came here and they had, they fucked up and forgot to get their visas, which I'm still not buying that excuse that they couldn't get them in time. That's garbage. And he was over. He looked like a star. He acted like a star, all this stuff. He came to a local Fed for $10 tickets. And I was like, nah, I'm good. I mean, and I'm going to AEW this week. So it's not that I'm scared to go to a wrestling crowd,
Oh.
but which we will talk about in a sec, I guess. But yeah, I mean that's woof. I don't know. Maybe during the lockdown he didn't work out. I don't know. So.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I guess he still looks defined, so I feel like he did work out, but holy smokes, that he definitely went on a different diet plan, and it did not involve nearly as much protein.
Yeah. No.
That's where I'll leave that one.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, but no, Impact, earlier you missed, Mickie James was out, Gail Kim is back. I don't think she's wrestling though. And then Deonna Purrazzo is going to be on the NWA Empower the female all female pay per view.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. I mean, she's really hit her stride in Impact, I guess because she was allowed to. And then Mickie James coming back to Impact. Remember, she got murdered all those years ago. Was it James Storm that did it?
Oh,
did he throw her in front of a bus or a train?
Oh, that's the subway car.
Yeah.
Yep. I completely forgot that she got murdered.
Yeah. Oh, not me. I was like, what the hell am I watching? You should be arrested. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's hilarious. I guess that's just old enough ago to be in my my blind spot. That, I don't think I was watching regularly, but I mean, I do remember that hitting, and it, you know, like, everyone blew up about that because she was murdered.
Yeah, and literally, and then they immediately just went to a match or something. Like, it was just blown off.
Yes.
Because I think Nick Aldis was still there, right? And that's when it was, like, they were, am I making this part up? But it almost seemed like her husband was there, or boyfriend, or something.
Yeah, I don't, I'm trying to remember when he left, because he was in Impact for a minute there. Yeah.
Well, that's where he got his start. Remember, he was Magnus.
Yeah, but, I mean, that also feels like a long time ago
that
now.
That was a long time ago.
Like, that's kind of crazy, like, I keep on, these things that took place like 10 years ago are the things that are blowing my mind now. Because I'm like, didn't that just happen? And you're like, oh, no, it didn't. Because I'm going to guess that Nick Aldis has probably like been out of Impact for like 10 years now.
Probably something around there. But, you know, it was also a time where I think I was really getting tired. Like, I just don't want to watch this anymore.
Oh, yeah, 20... Oh, that's TNA. Oh. Yeah, 2015. Good gravy. Was the...
That's 6 years ago?
Yeah, he returned for a short stint in 2017 for some matches, it looks like. But it was not even a year's stay.
Yeah. But, yeah, but no, and then I don't know what happened with him afterwards. I guess there's Heat WWE, so he wasn't going back there, but.
Yeah, he's just been in NWA ever since, and I mean, he made a couple of appearances in Ring of Honor, since they're also in the share talent pool. But yeah, I mean, I guess it is kind of fun that these the smaller promotions below WWE are swapping talent. Like I really did not expect Kenny Omega to still be doing stuff in Impact at this point.
Here's the problem. When he won the title, I was like, no one's gonna beat him.
Oh.
Because there's no way that he's gonna lose, like he was gonna lose that match unless there's a disqualification, some goofy stuff like that.
Oh, right.
I never want to see a goddamn roll up pin again in my life. By the way, Juice Robinson rolls up Madman Fulton, because that makes a lot of sense. Anyways, I never want to see this bullshit again. No one does it right. It looks so easy to get up. You could hit somebody like Drew McIntyre beating up poor, what was his name on Raw? He basically beat him to death with a chair.
Shanky?
That's it, Shanky. All right.
Yeah, like, I finally know the difference now between Veer and Shanky, just because poor Shanky got his ass handed to him this week.
Yeah, and I don't care if that happened, and then immediately Drew McIntyre went to schoolboy him, just lift shoulder up, roll out. It's that fucking easy. That is a bullshit move in 2021, where a DDT doesn't pin you, but you simply rolling somebody and just, like, resting on top of them. Get the fuck out of here. I can't stand that.
Well, yeah, there are just a handful of people that really do. I shouldn't say a handful of people. It's been used so much. I do feel like a lot of people try to put a little extra oomph into that pinning style now, but that was not one of them.
Yeah, it's if like if it was the Big Show doing it to Daniel Bryan, absolutely, I could see that. You know,
yeah,
but no, not somebody who is a foot taller and about 150 pounds lighter. Get out of here. Never.
Yes.
I'm sure. Didn't somebody like do that to Nia Jax once?
Yes. Like three times. I think Lana might have even beat her that way. Ugh.
Anyways, for what we're talking about. it's a lazy end to a match. Lazy. That's all it is. Should never happen. But whatever. So Juice Robinson got off the hook.
Oh, we were talking about Kenny Omega not being able to be beat in Impact.
Yes. So there was no way that somebody in Impact's going to beat him yet. Not until he loses that AEW title. Just like he's a Triple A champion, right?
Correct.
He's facing El Idolo, or Andrade, I guess. I can't see Andrade beating him either. It's got to be the AEW title goes first. Then they can get around to losing the other ones. Kind of like a downward spiral sort of thing?
Yeah. That seems like what they're setting up. Or at least I hope that's what they're setting up. But it's still like... I guess I'm still not sure. I probably don't watch Impact enough to know who could possibly be in line to beat Omega, because I'm going to assume that who's he taking on? Sammy Callahan. Did he just take him on
it? Last weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so no, I couldn't believe the decision to have him win, because Impact has no champion right now. You know, I mean, I guess Kenny's coming. I mean, Kenny shows up on the show, but, you know, it's kind of weird. Don't got anything to chase. So.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's like, you're right. In TNA right now, I have no idea. I mean, not an earthly idea of who could actually take him out. Like, W. Morrissey would be really crazy. But. Oh, that's a former Big Cass, by the way.
Yeah, that's his real name.
Yes, and it? I'm dead serious. He looks great.
Oh.
He's shredded. He's energetic again. Like, it's a nice turnaround. Because of how awful he was. Like, you know, with his, I think it was depression and then alcoholism, I think.
I had no idea that those were his problems.
Oh, dude, yeah, he got bad. He actually had to pull out. He collapsed at like one of the House of Hardcores.
Oh.
And I guess I may be wrong, so I'm just going to preface it with this, but I believe it was an anxiety attack.
And
that's what they said. And you know how that stuff works. So yeah, so the crowd's booing, and Tommy Dreamer's like, no, he had a real medical emergency. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I he could be covered too, but. But no, it's way too early. He's feuding with Eddie Edwards right now.
So. Yeah, I don't know. He doesn't. If you're going to pick someone to beat Kenny Omega, he just doesn't seem like the right choice either, though.
No.
Just in general. You kind of want to make. I guess you want to make someone a star, and just because he was in WWE, like, he's probably bigger than some of those people already.
Yeah.
Recognition wise.
And I don't know who. They have Homecoming coming up soon. So that's where they usually bring in new people. And, you know. Unless. They seem to have a New Japan relationship. What if Jay White beats him? Which would be even goofier that a New Japan guy would be the Impact champion. But if he's willing to work and they're willing to let him stay over here, pretty beneficial. So that's just off the top of my head. I don't know if that would actually would work or if they could do that. So
it would be interesting. I mean, who knows? This whole thing's been pretty wild. I mean, I guess it's working out for Impact. They're continuing to do this, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it makes sense. Like, NWA, Ring of Honor, and TNA all working in cahoots with, like, New Japan and AEW only makes sense for them. Because the talent pool, I mean, we speculated when all these people left, were fired by WWE, that they could go, all right, we were like, all right, these guys can go here, these guys can go here, these guys can go here, right? Well, Andrade and Alistair are both in AEW. I'm guessing Ruby Riott shows up in Impact, I'm guessing, like we did this before, but it's still, the talent's out there, but you only got so much space and money out there. So, by trading talent, that, you know, one company's, I don't know how this works. If a talent trade means Impact is paying for Kenny Omega to be there or not, you know, I don't know. I don't know how the inner workings of that work. Because it's not a traditional trade. He's still on both shows.
Oh, you know? Right. Yeah, I would guess he just has a regular wrestler's contract with Impact, I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, I wonder, has Moose come down the screen? Could be Moose.
Moose would make a great deal of sense.
Yes. But yeah. So it's an interesting time. We've never seen this.
It really kind of, in a lot of ways, between true, like, indie wrestling and now this, like, this definitely does seem more like, and not that we were really around for it, but the territory situation. Like, yeah. It helps to have, you know, a fresh face come in sometimes.
No, absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, and I mean, even if they're only going to be there for a couple of months or something, it really helps out. And I mean, I think we've mentioned it before. I think one of the reasons that guys like Andrade and Miro and who else did you just mention?
Well, it's Malakai Black.
Malakai Black, yeah. They all were pretty much shot to the top of AEW because that part of the division needed the help the most.
Yes.
Like, their undercard stuff is fine and even the TNT Championship stuff has been pretty well done, like, especially considering all the obstacles that they've had. You know, with their one champion pretty much dying unexpectedly.
Well, remember, he wasn't the champion anymore, but that was the last match we saw him, right?
He lost the match, and that was the last match that he was on. Because everyone assumed that he would take... AEW has been kind of good about people taking a little bit of time after their championship losses. Because... Mm-hmm. I mean, Sheeta hasn't really been around, has she, since her loss?
Sorry, what'd you say?
Hikaru Sheeta. Yes. She's kind of been gone since her loss. Like, I do feel like...
you don't watch Dark or Dark Elevation.
Oh, Christ, no, I don't.
She's been on there.
Okay, well, she is... If you're not on the main TV show, as we've talked about numerous times, then she isn't really on TV. But
yeah, no, that's absolutely fair. Yeah.
I mean, I guess we're gonna have to start counting whatever Rampage or whatever that's coming on Fridays here soon. But that's
if it's on network TV.
Yeah, it's gonna be getting to crazy proportions for trying to keep up with just the main products.
Yeah, I mean, like, I usually turn on dark or dark elevation, whatever. I usually turn that on, like, Thursday morning when I start working because it's just on. So, you know, I can at least keep up with it. No, I guess it would be dark. Dark elevation is Tony Schiavone and Big Show, or Paul White, whatever.
Yeah, we're not going to get sued. Who cares? So.
But yeah, so it's like, yeah, but if it doesn't happen on regular AEW, if it's not on broadcast TV, I mean, I guess it doesn't count. But they have angles on the show. I mean, people aren't sitting around not doing anything.
Yeah, and I mean, they have done... I don't think it's been a great job, but they have tried to bring those storylines in. I just think that it starts off really cold because a lot of people don't know about it, and then you're expected to pick up a feud like more than halfway through and roll with it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird. Like, they do those shows, and you're like, okay. But, and I mentioned this last week in the show that we lost. No, we didn't do a show last week, did we?
No, that was 2 weeks ago that we lost.
Okay. So, yeah, that's right. I was texting you last week. That's right.
Yeah, I had some problems being able to record last week, let's say. So.
Right. But I can't believe how good the last two AEW shows have been. Now, outside of this Chavo Guerrero garbage, the shows have been like, and I know you said it was the crowds, but they did it again this week. They're paced really well. The backstage vignettes are good. The pre-tapes are good. And they've got it in the right spots. Like, now, they still need to understand where the hard camera is, but that's on the wrestlers. That's not on the production for a change. Like, you could see Rick Knox this week telling Kenny Omega, turn around.
Oh.
I literally see him mouthing, turn around. He like pointed, like he actually like tapped him like to move him over so that they weren't in the way while he was talking to Hangman Page. And I guess that's something we take for granted watching WWE TV. I mean, they're trained not to block the camera with their back. Don't turn your back to the camera.
Yeah, there are some things that WWE does better, and that is definitely on the list, because I noticed that too. I'm like, oh, that's terrible, man. Like, yeah. You would think a guy who's been around as long as Kenny Omega would not be making that type of a mistake. It's not like New Japan, you know, like, no one does their camera angles, like, you know, there isn't any kind of wacky innovations or anything. You know, everyone pretty much uses the same angles.
Yeah, see, even in New Japan, they don't really play to the camera that often. Like, when they're doing promos, because they're doing, like, if they're doing a promo in the ring, they're talking to the crowd, they're not talking to the people at home.
That is true.
So they'll walk, lean on the ropes, like lean backwards on the ropes, all this, all sorts of stuff. But you would think, like this Keith Mitchell guy who's supposedly the director, and you got all these other WWE production people that worked in some capacity for WWE, I mean, would be like, hey, do this and do this. You want to see, we want to see what's going on so we don't have to use, you know, the closer zoomed camera angle. Because, I mean, they do a good job of getting to those, so you can at least see, like, faces and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. But I guess I have enjoyed Fyter Fest the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it is just, maybe it is one of those things where, in general, these, I do feel like the TV specials for them and for NXT, they tend to skew more towards the pay-per-view format than they do a regular TV show format.
Yeah, yeah.
So that could, that might, and I mean, yeah, maybe the crowds isn't completely it, but it could just be that they haven't done any, like, for the most part, any back-to-back talking segments. Or at least, I feel like they did one this week, but it was separated by a commercial. But it did kind of drive me a little bit nuts that it was, again, Tony Schiavone both doing an in-ring one, and then after that it was a taped backstage promo after the break, I think.
Yeah, I also, why is Alex Marvez on TV still? It's enough. It's not good.
That it's and good. I don't understand. Like, I know that The Rock was always fucking with Michael Cole backstage. But the stuff that AEW has them do to the announcers is, like, it's kind of reprehensible. Like, why, like, what did they, who dumped something on, was it on Tony Schiavone's head last week?
Yeah.
And Marvez was worried about it this week?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, QT should not be doing anything offensive because he's not worth the time and effort. So,
yes, it's,
but
the fact that's on, like, that is something that should be on Dark.
Not
on AEW. Not on Dynamite, excuse me. So,
yeah. Yeah, that was definitely not a highlight of the show. Alex Marvez popping up and having to be scared of QT Marshall. Like, yeah, like, there's what, because I guess in a lot of ways what The Rock and a lot of other people, they kind of picked on them. They didn't assault them ever.
No, The Rock did, like, when The Rock was a bad guy, he wouldn't like beat him up or anything, but he would. Didn't he was the one that gave Michael Cole a wedgie, right? Or is that DX?
DX did.
All right, I could have swore he did something with Cole, and maybe he didn't. No, he would threaten to hit him. He'd always do like the backhand thing at him.
Yeah, but that's different than, you know, dumping something on somebody's head. The Young Bucks super kicking. Did they super kick Schiavone or Marvez or both?
Marvez. No, it was Schiavone because it broke his phone.
So it's weird the way they treat the backstage guys there. Just to me in general, like, that's not what I don't quite understand the purpose. Like, when The Rock pretends to backhand Michael Cole and he cowers, he's being a dick, you know what I mean? Like, it conveys something to me. Like, super kicking one of the announcers or dumping yogurt on the guy's head, like, I don't know, that doesn't really do anything for me. Like, it conveys less of a dickishness and more of a, you're just being an asshole.
It's just like, to me, it's like, really? That's supposed to get me upset?
Well, yeah.
You know. And, all right, so while we're on the subject of the announcers, why do they do in-ring announcers? If you think about it, every single time there's an in-ring thing, they take the mic away from them, or someone comes out and interrupts, and they never talk. Every single time. So why not just have the wrestler come out and cut a promo? Like, just enough. We already know it's not shocking. It's not interesting. It's just kind of dumb.
Yeah, that's the other thing that is weird about the Tony Schiavone interviews. Like you said, like, 50% of the time they're like, we'll take it from here, hit the bricks, pal. And it's like,
yeah.
Then, just have him cut a promo. Have that person cut a promo. And, I mean, honestly, Tony Schiavone could use a rest. You know, I know that he's not physically harming himself walking down and back from there, but, you know, just keep him off TV a little bit. He is one of your announcers. He's on all the time. Like, just let the guy cut a promo.
Yep. No, you're right. Yes. It'd be like, you know, Randy Orton comes down to the ring and they're waiting. There's somebody there to interview him. He's like, I got this. Get out. Like, no. Randy Orton comes out, demands a microphone from whoever's holding him out there, then does his piece. That's all that's needed. But for some reason, I'm not just turning into a negative thing for AEW, but AEW has a problem with still, nostalgia, I guess. Some will see it as taking care of, like, some of the old guard. Like, Vicky Guerrero, she does not need to be in AEW. Sorry, just doesn't.
Oh, no.
Jade the Snake, absolutely not, and they re-signed him for 2 years. There's no reason for him to be teamed with Lance Archer. None. As we've seen, Lance Archer can cut a promo just fine.
Yeah.
Who else is there? Arn Anderson does not need to be out there. Tully Blanchard does not need to be out there. None of them.
Yeah, Tully Blanchard has, I guess, added the most, but he doesn't need to be there either.
No. And I'm trying to think who else? Who else is just a hanger-oner? Like, is that all of them?
I think so, because the Bunny has started wrestling again, so she's not a hanger-oner. And I'm trying to think of the other kind of old superstars, and I don't think there's any others on the list.
Yeah, because even like Big Show and Sting? Mark Henry came in. we'll get to that in a second. like Big Show and Mark Henry, they're just there. Big Show or Paul White does commentary. Mark Henry, I think, is a trainer or probably an ambassador or something. He's such a likable dude. Christian's wrestling. And then, so just when you think, like, okay, so they had something cool. I like the Andrade interviews. I don't think it needs a translation, but I'm different than other people. I can understand what he's saying just fine. But I also kind of like the gimmick.
You know? Yeah, since I'm glad that Alex Abrahantes isn't his sidekick, to be completely honest with you. Just because that would have been weird and awkward. I'm glad that he kind of has his own translator. It kind of feels like it almost feels like a sport where you kind of hire your own guy. Like there's,
yes,
you know, a clubhouse translator for like a bunch of baseball teams.
Yeah. So I actually like Penta and Alex. How do you say his last name? Sorry.
Abrahantes, I believe.
Okay, that works for me. But because Penta's kind of a scary looking character, like the mask and makeup and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you've got this goofball as his translator.
Oh. Yeah, well, since they have... I'm more okay with it because, like, when he popped up the first week as the translator, I'm like, wasn't this guy just one of your regular announcers? But yes. They've stopped using him as one of their regular announcers, and I think that helps the gimmick.
I think he's done as the Spanish announcer. I don't know.
Well, I definitely don't listen to the that feed.
Yeah, but yeah, so yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But yeah, like I like those little team ups. But then just when you're like, all right, that's enough. You know what? I forgot the groundswell of support and cries of. We want that never happened for Chavo Guerrero. What a absolute letdown. After Zelina Vega showed back up in WWE, I guess it was like, all right, who's this big surprise going to be? That's it?
Texas loved it.
From around Texas, whatever. So it makes sense.
I'll put it that way. I do not care.
No. Oh, he came out and I just went, "What the fuck?" And Lisa goes, "What's the matter?" I'm like, "No one cares about Chavo Guerrero. This is bullshit. This crowd reaction is garbage. They're not going to give a damn about him after today." Ugh. It's just, and it's nothing personal, obviously, they don't need him.
No, he doesn't do any, you know, like, he's just going to be another guy like the other ones that you mentioned, that he's not going to do anything for Andrade.
No, not at all.
They don't really need, like, he's an overpriced translator, if that's how they're going to use him. He's not going to really wrestle, so it doesn't help Andrade even the odds against Death Triangle.
Right.
Yeah, like, they need someone to help him even the odds. And that's not Chavo.
No.
And
it's not the translator that he has. Oh, all right, this is kind of a different thing, but Jay Cargill. She doesn't need this lawyer dude. What is this? Why is he still around?
I don't know.
I kind of got a kick out of the Hollywood thing this week. That real quick thing. I was like, you know, you want to be in Marvel movies. We got a network. You got to do this and this. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of funny. Because she's not even wrestling on Dark or anything. She's just not wrestling. So for somebody who has next to no match experience, might want to get her out there, unless they don't want to get her out there.
Either that, or they're being smart and just training her until she starts wrestling more regularly.
Yeah, I mean, she's got the look of somebody who should be a ridiculous athlete. That's for sure.
I don't think it's a big school, but she did play basketball at it, so I'd imagine she has some type of innate dexterity.
You would hope, at least. You know?
Yeah. Sometimes, but, I mean, we have mentioned, that doesn't always mean that you're definitely going to be great at professional wrestling.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, that all being said, like, I guess we'll see. But like you said, like, she definitely looks like $1 million or several million dollars.
Yes. Yeah.
So, good. I guess she doesn't need him, but I guess to me that one works a little bit better. Just because I can see her needing an agent of some sort. You know what I mean? Like, and he's not trying to talk for her either. Like, Vicky is just, like, she's just wasted space. Like, she doesn't even really talk for Nyla Rose. Like, it's just kind of weird. She's just there to say excuse me every now and again. It's just like, okay. Like, that's why you're paying her?
Yeah, and it's like, I don't understand the fixation with this stuff. Nyla Rose is a fine promo. Not great, fine. You don't have to be great. When you look like her, you don't have to be a great promo. You have to get out there and go, I'm going to beat some ass. People will hear you, look at you, and go, yep, she's going to beat some ass. You know, like King Kong Bundy, what a great promo, but you looked at him, you heard him, you're like, oh, Hulk Hogan's in trouble. You know?
Yeah.
Just that sort of stuff. But that's weird. That's a weird example, by the way. But I was going for monsters, because that's what Nyla Rose is.
I'm with you. She does not need to, like you said, she has a good enough promo, and she should be just doing short promos anyway.
To go to the positive, that match was really good.
Oh, yes.
They tried a roll-up, and what happened? Nyla Rose was like, no. Just immediately got out of it. It was great. I've been very, very impressed with AEW the last couple weeks. And not because of, there's a crowd, whatever else, but because the show's just been better. Like, there's no other way around it. The show's just been better. So,
yeah, and even though I just watched it, I still need to pull up a TV report just to remember exactly. I mean, I know that we've covered a bunch of stuff already here, so.
Well, part of it is they pack a lot of stuff into one show. Like, there's almost too many things going on. So, it wouldn't hurt if they scaled back a little bit. But just about everything's memorable. Like, the Andrade stuff this week was a little strange. I was like, what's... He's saying that everyone... Death Triangle always already... Death Triangle already works for him. And you're like, oh, are they going to turn on Pac? And then he goes, everyone works for me. Like, oh. Okay. So nothing of real interest. But...
yeah, because it's not even... It's almost above and beyond delusional heel. In yeah. some ways. In a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I'm like, did he really need that? You know? Like...
Yeah, again, like, if he would have introduced someone to help even up the odds for him against Death Triangle, because it's like, I'm okay seeing these matches, and this is one of those other situations where, and I know that I've talked about it, like, to me, heels should rub each other the wrong way, kind of naturally, and that baby faces should... really stick together for the most part. But yes. Weirdly in wrestling, it's the inverse where the heels tend to stick together, but the baby faces secretly hate each other. Andrade just needs a crew to go up against another group of three. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. And I mean, they definitely seem... AEW definitely seems more faction heavy. So I guess from the jump, it seemed weird to me that Andrade started a feud with three people at the same time after one win on TV.
Yeah. And like the way he was, the way he was talking about stuff, I was like, oh, he's going to try and recruit that triangle. That's how I thought this was going. Because he's like, oh, Pac, I don't want to fight you. He's like, why aren't you fighting for gold? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? I'm like, okay, so this is a little different than I saw coming. And then it was just insults and wrestling garbage. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Because even Chavo was like, hey, no disrespect, blah, blah, blah. Like, okay. That's why you're boring, Chavo. So... Yeah, that was probably the weakest part. Outside of the Blade and Orange Cassidy, only because the Blade is such a nothing character that, like, who cares?
Oh, there was no chance in hell that Orange Cassidy was losing that match.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it made it a nothing burger of a match. Although, oh, no, that was... Because that wasn't... was that match where Sting came out? No, that was Darby Allin and...
Oh, my God. It's some weird name.
I'm scrolling through the review and I completely missed it. Oh, Wheeler Yuta. I forgot about that. Wheeler Yuta is one of those guys that I saw up at AIW in Cleveland. I'm like, oh man, this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, this kid's really gonna do something at some point. And he got a couple. He had a cup of coffee in Ring of Honor there, but he must have just been on a per appearance deal because he's been on Impact now for like the last month.
No, AEW.
Or AEW. Oh, Jesus. Oh, anyway, AEW for the past month or so. And he's just kind of had some. Tough losses, I guess they've kind of put him in that situation. But I'm really kind of excited about that. And I will admit, I got a real kick out of the Orange Cassidy and Sting interaction. Like,
yes, that's why I wanted to wait. That's the greatest thing Sting's ever done. That I was genuinely laughing and thinking, this is really cool Sting's doing this. Because, I mean, as much as I never really cared for Sting.
Yeah.
I do recognize he had a huge presence, huge following, huge popularity. No one's going to forget. I mean, you can't forget the whole Hogan Sting, was it 96? 97, whatever it was. That whole year.
Yeah.
You can't forget. Like, you can't forget how awesome that was.
Yeah. When Sting turned into the Crow, things got crazy. And, yeah, to have him do that, like, he has every right to blow off Orange Cassidy if he so wanted to. And he's just like, oh, no, I'm going to play into this completely. And the fact that he even did, like, a half-assed chest beating, I was almost in tears.
That was the part that got me. He did the very soft, he didn't even do, he didn't, like, do the usual yell or anything. Yeah. That was great. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. That was a real hoot.
Saw Darby Allin go, what are you doing? And then he won, luckily, because I'm so dumb watching wrestling sometimes. I never once thought this guy was going to win. But then he, what was it, a schoolboy or a roll-up or something. Yeah. And I actually thought he was going to win.
Well, because it is one of those spots where how many times is someone distracted like Darby Allin was, and they get rolled up, and they end up losing. You know, like, it's almost inherent because of how the mechanics of wrestling have worked recently, that you're like, oh my, because I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh my God, is Yuta going to pull out a win here on Darby Allin the week, like, a week after he loses his title? Like, I guess I expected a get back win, so to speak, for Allin. And because, yeah, the same thing crossed my mind. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I did love it. Someone posted a little like anime version of that happening on Twitter today. And I wish I had their handle name because it was outstanding.
Yeah, I was trying to think. There was something else. It's funny because I'm getting the matches mixed up. The hell was it? There was something else. Oh, the Chris Statlander interference I thought was cool in the Orange Cassidy match. Because, I mean, you knew Bunny was going to interfere, but it was just a subtle interfere. It was a subtle thing. And then, oh, that was it. I said that just so I get my train of thought. Okay, look, I know it turned out to be an angle, right? But when Blade went down holding his knee with a knee brace on it, and then he gets up, after watching NXT on Tuesday with Xia Li getting crushed, I was like, is he really hurt? And you get to see Darby go, I don't care. Like, that just seems like something like Darby would say. Oh, the guy's hurt? I don't care. And then the person kept knocking him off. I'm going, oh my God, did he just blow his knee out? He did such a really good acting job. And the part I liked about it the most is when he revealed he wasn't hurt, he just started running around the ring. That was funny. Like, what an asshole. So I was fully behind him on that one. Like, this is great. But I know I'm not supposed to be.
Oh.
But I didn't care either.
Oh, yeah. Great at Gray Tan Art.
Okay.
Was the guy that made the Sting Orange Cassidy thing. It's definitely worth a look. I liked it on my regular account, so I was trying to find that while you're talking about the other stuff. But yeah, I guess the blade did a pretty solid sell job. Having the brace on certainly helps to start with.
And then he had the Nux inside the brace. Pretty cool. I don't know. Those like old school wrestling touches, I dig sometimes. And that's really what that was. Like, oh, so they check my boots, check my tights, check my this, check my this. They're never gonna check the knee brace. Which, by the way, in wrestling, you shouldn't be allowed to have a knee brace on anyways, but whatever. So
Yeah, it's wrestling. You've got to allow some way for the heel to bring in their foreign object.
But yeah,
So.
I enjoyed it. I didn't think for 1 second Orton's gonna lose, but that's fine.
Oh, yeah. Because I think
What
we're
did you
going.
think of the main event?
Yeah, that's the only other thing really worth going through here, unless we need to talk about the labors of Jericho.
Well, that is definitely getting brought up. So I was just curious when we were at the end of the show. What you thought of the main event?
I ended up just because I went to the soccer game last night, I only watched about the first hour yesterday. So I was woken up to the news that Lance Archer was the new champion because
Yeah.
it's, yeah, something's gonna pop up on my phone somewhere. So unfortunately, stuff gets spoiled like that. But, it was one of those things where I'm like, I guess I didn't realize that, or I had forgotten that Lance Archer had had the IWGP US title at a couple of junctures, or at least one juncture. Because I feel like that guy, he really went from, to me, something of a laughing stock of a big guy way back in the TNA days.
Yeah.
To like, I really enjoyed his run in New Japan, and he's really been drugged down by Jake Roberts in Dynamite, and hasn't really like he's gotten a chance at the TNT Championship a couple of times and hasn't been able to win the match, and him getting a championship, I'm like, man, that guy deserves something. Like, that guy has worked his ass off to become better over the years. And he's really like, he's been on a good run since, because now, like, I mean, I feel like watching New Japan is like decades ago at this point. Even though it's probably only like a year that I haven't really watched.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'd say that I've really enjoyed Lance Archer for a solid 5 years or something like that. And like, that's one of those I hope that he gets to hold on to that championship for a little bit. But I do kind of have an odd feeling that, is it Haku's son?
Yes. Ooh, wow, that's a tall man.
No kidding. I know that Haku was not small, but his child is huge. But yeah, I kind of have a feeling that Moxley was okay dropping it to Archer, but Archer's gonna be dropping it to what is his name? Like, I need to try and grab that here if I can.
Heikelo or Huckalo or something like that.
Yeah, Heikkilo.
That's it.
Heikkilo? Yeah. However exactly you pronunciate that.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't really
Hakalo.
hear them say it enough to kind of get a good vibe on at least an approximate pronunciation.
Yeah,
But yeah, anyway, point stands. Like, I kind of have a feeling that he's going to be dropping that title to him. Because Heikkilo seems like he's a New Japan property and they're trying to get that championship back over on that side of the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, it makes sense. Well, I mean, I don't know. If you think about it, Japan's in a state of emergency, regardless of the Tokyo Games going on.
Oh, right.
So,
I mean, they don't have any fans, which is still so weird. But anyway, go for it.
Well, it's also stupid because no, what I was getting at is, if they, like, Jay White's over here.
Oh.
So he's got the Never Openweight title with him. The U.S. title's over here with Moxley and now Lance Archer. So, maybe like, no, we're going to just keep it over here. And that's why they'll keep it on Lance Archer. Or, oh. You know, Jay White can do his things, so...
Yeah, I mean, that'd be fun. I'd be really happy for Archer if he kept it. Like I said, like his last like 5 years or something, I've really enjoyed the shit out of him. And he just like every time he seems to have gone for a championship, he hasn't been able to win it. Like I would have thought that he would have been one of those guys in New Japan that would have been like a 12-time open weight champion since. That title seems to change hands like every third match.
Yeah. Well, it seems like New Japan likes to change their titles every third match anyways. So that was one thing I never understood about New Japan when I first started watching, because I heard about, you know, the quality of the title and this and this and this, right? And then every pay-per-view, someone loses a title. I'm like,
well,
you told me this was different.
They're big. I don't think the U.S. title, or not U.S. title, what's their intercontinental title called? Not junior heavyweight.
Well, no, it was the intercontinental title. They just got rid of it.
Oh, okay. That's what Naito held for quite a while, somewhat recently.
He kept disrespecting because he didn't want it.
Yeah, okay. So, I do feel like they protected the Intercontinental Champion and the main champion a lot. But everyone else, it was... people would drop titles left and right.
Yeah. And
you know? I think there's a little bit of a mix. Like, they were a little more sacred about their top titles, but... everything under that was not nearly as sacred, or probably less sacred than anything in the WWE.
Yeah, I that's absolutely fair. But, no, so to round up AEW real quick, so we're getting the 10-man tag. The card I'm going to Wednesday, I'm so hyped for. We get LAX and FTR.
Oh.
I'm like, fuck yes. Or, I'm sorry, Proud, Powerful, whatever they're going by right now. I was like, hell yes. We're getting the 10-man tag match, or elimination match, that determines if Hangman and them, you know, get title shots. Archer and, what was his name again? I'm sorry.
Hikaleo.
Thank you. Jericho.
Oh.
And Nick fucking Gage. And I was like, ugh.
You know what? I saw that's Nick Gage is another guy that I've seen in a couple of the AIW shows, and he doesn't go overboard with his death matches. At least I haven't seen too many of the light tube style ones or anything crazy like that. I enjoy him, but I did kind of have your reaction when I saw Chris Jericho bring out the Painmaker. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude, you've packed on about 50 pounds in your gut. You're not selling me on the whole Painmaker thing anymore.
Yeah, the Painmaker thing works in Japan. Like, everyone cheered for it, but I was just like, yuck. No, I don't... Didn't Nick Gage, he was in one of those when you were here. Wasn't he in one of the matches where it was like they did the sticks in the head or whatever?
Yeah, probably.
And I was like, this is dumb. And then he did it again. I'm like, ugh. And I watched a whole documentary about him, and it's like, this is trash. Like, I don't want to sound like Jim Cornette, but I'm going to. It's trash. It's like we enjoyed the hell out of that stuff back in, what, 2000? 21 years later, we're still doing this bullshit. And to a certain extent, even Moxley and Archer, like, he's taking a fork and jamming it in his forehead. I'm like, what are we doing? Like, really, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I've swung back the other way to liking them necessarily, but I do find that, like I said, like, I have some weird line where I think things get too ludicrous, but I don't know where exactly I draw that line. Like, it's pretty arbitrary for me. Like, I guess I don't mind the hardcore match. I don't like chairs to heads because we did have a little bit of that action this week. In that matchup, I'm like, guys, come on, man. Like, I'm not asking for much. Like, we don't need that. We just don't. Like, you don't need to scramble your goddamn brains for anyone. Like, that's fucking stupid. But I do know that, like, there's, like, a deathmatch company in Columbus, and I'm like, guys, I don't care.
I dare you to ask Melissa to go to one of those.
Oh
my god, her reaction would be so fucking great. I would please ask her to go to one of those. Kevin's taking me to insane Columbus wrestling. I'm like, yep, he sure is. I'll just tell Elise. Oh my god. She's like, what? I'm like, no, I'm not telling you. Never mind. I won't tell until it happens. And she's like, did you know Kevin took Melissa to the insane Columbus wrestling? I'm like, yeah, I did. It was my idea.
Oh man, I mean, I definitely. Well, yeah, it'd be kind of interesting. I don't think she'd like that because she does. Like I said, to me, AIW does a pretty decent job of not. To me, like, if there's a line, that's where my line is. Like, yeah. Because they can get pretty violent in their matches, and it still kills me that they found out that doors are cheaper to buy than tables, so that's why they break doors now instead of chairs. Yeah. Or instead of tables. And I think that Archer and Moxley walked a fair enough line. Like, the fork thing's, I just think that that's a little bit silly because it's like, guys, I know that you're not really stabbing him now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the fork part was a little bit weird, but I do, I almost appreciate in a way that, and I don't know if we necessarily need to transition to Raw since Chris and I talked about it, but the WWE has definitely added some edgy talking points, at least. And I feel like that's been a little bit in response to AEW, you know, kind of bringing back hardcore wrestling a little bit. I know they don't do it all the time, but they definitely are a little more free-flowing with the language and with the violence.
Well, violence for sure, but like John Cena called Roman Reigns an asshole, and they bleeped it, right? And then later on, MVP goes, "Yeah, he was right. No more bullshit." And I was like, "What?" I guess because it was a different hour. A different hour that it was on, so.
Yeah, I don't know exactly why. That caught me by quite a bit of surprise, too. I'm like, huh? Like, asshole is bleep, but not bullshit? Like, huh?
Yeah. And I see sometimes. Like, sometimes swearing in wrestling works. And it's almost necessary. To where, yeah, like, Bobby Lashley's mad. He's not going to, like, we don't need this junk. No, it is bullshit, man. I'm an adult. And Bobby Lashley was pushing it on Monday. I didn't hear. Did you guys talk about that?
What did Lashley, what are you trying to get at? So okay, just go
when,
for it.
When Goldberg came out, he goes, what the fuck? You can read his lips. He goes, what the fuck? And then Goldberg's doing all this stuff, and you see Lashley go, this fucker or this fucking guy, something like that. And then, like, the third time, someone in the booth caught it. It was like, oh, hell no. he starts saying, get the fuck out of here. And they cut away from him. And Lashley is a pretty intense looking dude.
Yeah.
He looked like he was legitimately wanting to kill Bill Goldberg. And I'm all for that. I hope Lashley obliterates this guy.
This is one where Goldberg can just keep on eating L's for all I care.
It doesn't make any sense. He comes in, loses. Comes in, loses. Now, he beats The Fiend when he shouldn't have. But it's like, why does Goldberg keep coming back just to lose? You know?
I guess he's happy that he got to show his kid that he could be champion, and now he's just fine eating losses left and right, because the money is that good. And, yeah, at least Raw needs a little bit of a stopgap until Lashley moves on to someone else.
I understand what you're saying, but goddammit, they don't need stopgaps. They need to develop their actual guys. You know, like, they can bring Keith Lee. So Karrion Kross, Bronson Reed, don't keep his ass in NXT. But it just, I know you and Chris talked about it. I know if you guys did a show, you talked about it, but I didn't. Raw wasn't awful. It had some awful ass decisions. And that's two of them. If Karrion Kross gets beat by Bobby Lashley, okay, cool. You know?
Oh.
If Karrion Kross loses by disqualification because he beat the hell out of Jeff Hardy and wouldn't stop, okay? You don't hype up somebody and then go, all right, we're jobbing him in 90 seconds. Or whatever amount of time it is. When the guy on his own TV show hasn't lost in 2 years, he's undefeated in NXT. And I know, it's like, well, it's NXT. Remember what I was saying? I'm tired of getting invested in people just for WWE to fuck them up.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm not exactly head over heels in love with Karrion Kross. But he was just a big dude in a Roman kill. A Roman whatever.
Well, I wouldn't call that Roman. I would call that Spartan, but hey.
What the fuck ever. No Scarlet, no cool entrance, none of it. Here's a dude. And remember, I've said this before. NXT does bigger, grander things than WWE does.
Well, I think that was the biggest, that was one of the things that did bother me quite a bit. Like, Kross looked really bad for a lot of reasons. Not giving him, like, as much as I do think it's terrible that both Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano have pointed out Kross's many shortcomings, the main roster didn't do anything to tweak them at all. Like, that's one of those ones where I'm like, okay, if they call him up and he's on his own, they will have a more honed-in idea of his character. And they don't seem to be going that direction at all. And I know that just with the way that his promo went and the way that that all happened, that Cross is going to get the win back. But it's like, guys, why are you digging a hole for someone to get out of in their first match?
Yeah, cool. So he gets his win back. So what? I mean, honestly, who cares?
Well, and on top of that, Jeff Hardy has been jobbing to everyone. And somehow he pulls out a win against Karrion Kross?
Yeah.
He was losing to Elias and Jackson Riker, for Pete's sakes. Oof. Yeah. I mean, that's how bad it was for Jeff Hardy. Like, that's why I thought he was fodder.
Yes, I thought Jeff Hardy was going to give him little man, big man potential. And that's exactly what I thought it was supposed to be. And then he rolls him up, and I'm like, what? Like, no, this is stupid. Like, the crowd went crazy, I guess, so they liked it. So, like, oh, so you made the right decision. No, no.
That is something that it's going to take a little while. The WWE didn't listen to the crowd to start with. Because let's please get rid of that notion that the WWE always listens to the crowd. And it's going to take a few shows for stuff like that to sink in also.
Yeah. Well, the crowd was doing whatever they wanted for the pay-per-view. The Peacock event. I guess that's what these are called now.
Oh. Sure, man. Whatever they want to call them, I guess.
Yeah, it was whatever. So, it was over-marketed horse shit. So, but no, it's, sorry, I just got angry about the Peacock thing. But, it's dumb. But no, it's, what were we talking about? I honestly just lost my
train of thought. Karrion Kross and, guys from NXT just jobbing soon as they come up.
Yeah, no, but what I was getting at is, like, that's what was supposed to happen. You don't bring a guy in. You don't bring a new wrestler in and have him lose. We've seen it happen before. And guess who doesn't recover? That wrestler. They're done.
Yeah, well, and that, to me, is the biggest mystery. Like, honestly, NXT has him get shit on by Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano about how he needs all these bells and whistles. And then, honestly, I see him standing toe-to-toe with Jeff Hardy, and I start going, I'm pretty sure Wikipedia is wrong about him being 6'5". Because Jeff Hardy ain't that tall, and he's barely taller than Jeff Hardy. And it's just like, ooh, maybe things are, I feel like maybe they're doing a little carny trick on him. And I'm like, hey, guys, I'm sorry. Like, there's enough available information out there to sniff out when someone's 6'2 instead of 6'5. And Karrion Kross is in great shape, but if you start taking him to, where Bobby Lashley is champion and where Roman Reigns is the other champion, both of those guys are going to dwarf him. Like, if Jeff Hardy is almost as big as Karrion Kross, I'm sorry, those other guys are way bigger. Mm-hmm. And if you want him to be treated seriously, you don't have him lose that first match. Like you said, I don't care if he gets a win back at this point. Like, you've completely fucked him. Like, he's got to go on a winning streak after this to make up for this. And I don't know if he will.
Yeah, I mean, he needs to go and murder the roster. Like, just, all right, so because he even said, Jeff Hardy made a giant mistake, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
He murders Jeff Hardy. comes in, murders Cedric Alexander. Which, by the way, where is Cedric? He hasn't been out lately.
Who knows?
Anyways. Mansoor. Because you should murder Mansoor. What a boring, boring-ass wrestler. And then he cuts his hair. It looks like an accountant. Ugh. Anyways. Who else was there? Just anybody. And then all of a sudden, like, have him... I'm trying to think of a decent mid-tier guy they can do this with. To where it's actually shocking. And I don't mean Matt Riddle.
Oh.
Kofi?
Yeah, you can have him beat Kofi. If you invest that much in Cross, and honestly, I don't think they're going to, but yeah, like, Kofi would be a good guy, especially since, I mean, Cross still was playing more of a heel. It would make sense for him to take on a babyface like Kingston.
Yeah, and it really, I didn't like how Kofi went out against Bobby Lashley, but there's a precedent for that. Because remember, Brock Lesnar murdered John Cena at SummerSlam.
Oh.
Remember that one? So
yeah.
That's why I didn't have a huge problem with the way Kofi got dispatched. Because I was like, we've seen it before. And...
Well, that and Brock Lesnar really put an end to Kofi's title reign in a short order.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know, to be very Kofi specific, like, he has not fared well against MMA fighters.
No. Well, I mean, Cross is trained in MMA disciplines, so, you know, good enough excuse.
Yeah, he's still the only one that puts his head or his hand on his ear for a sleeper.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of that.
Like, even the guys in MMA don't do it, and I'm like, I don't care if that's, like, the true, correct technique, you look like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, but no, this entire conversation is for nothing. That's not what's going to happen.
Oh. You know?
And then, just like Keith Lee, he's dead. I don't care if it's the champion, and he's a dominant champion. I don't care that, you know, they can make the story that Keith Lee's been off for 7 months or whatever. He didn't look good in the ring against him. Like, he got bounced around. And it's like, okay. They fought before, and I believe Bobby Lashley won, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then that was it, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Until now.
Yeah, because he's been out since January. Like, I mean, they even mentioned it on TV. Like, it's still one of those weird, unsolved mystery things.
Yeah, and he's not talking about it.
Nope. He said he's going to share it one day, and no one knows when that one day is going to be.
Yeah, so, but no, it's like, again, Keith Lee's back, everyone's cheering. Like, I was like, what music is this? Because this is garbage music. Oh, it's Keith Lee's new music. Okay.
And I know I talked to Chris about this, but it still bears going. Everyone's like, I think it was Byron Saxton's like, oh, is that his music? And I'm like, his?
Yeah.
Like, huh? And then when it was Keith Lee, I'm like, dude's been around for a cup of coffee in the WWE. And they changed his music like twice when he was on the main roster. No one should be expected to remember his music. No one.
No, unless it was his old one. Then we would remember.
Oh, yes. If it was the Bask in His Glory from NXT, we would easily remember. But it isn't, so no.
It's like, not happening. And to go backwards for a second, why was everyone so excited about Jeff Hardy and having that music back?
Oh.
I didn't even recognize it. I'm like, has it been that long?
Yeah, well, that's what I thought, because I did see the subject brought up, and I'm just like, I feel like I've heard that other music for so long that I'm used to it. And I obviously, because he's probably used the not Hardy Boys music for like a decade plus at this point. That's a
To me,
long
that's
ass
their
time
brand.
ago to be using that music.
Jeff's music has always been the Hardy Boys music. Matt's music was the oh God, there's Monster Magnet song.
Oh, fuck Monster Magnet.
But that's always been his song though.
Yes.
So anything else has just been like, whatever, you know? You know? But when
Yeah.
did you like Monster Magnet? I can't remember.
No, I got annoyed by them when I went to go see them and Korn co-headlined Korn's first headlining gig. And evidently, I remember them getting all uppity about having to be co-headliners with Korn. I'm like, it's because you guys kind of suck. So no, I was never that big of a fan, but I did. They did headline the because yeah, the first time I saw that, because it was them and Korn at the Odeon there in Cleveland, and Korn played first, and then Monster Magnet closed, and I think I walked out about halfway through Monster Magnet's set because whatever, and they like it just didn't the. Even at that point, like, Korn hadn't figured out their live act completely to me that first time that I saw them. But the next time that I saw them at the Agora, and my. Is that when my car got broken into? No, my car got broken into when we went to see Gwar. Wrong show. So, yeah, I would. But I did see Korn at the Agora a few months later, and they sounded way better because Limp Bizkit ended up. That was the first time I heard Limp Bizkit.
One of the funny things, our friend Trisha was in town, so we went out to somewhere, and God damn, I can't remember where we're at. Anyways, so we're driving back, and Faith came on, you know, the Limp Bizkit version.
Oh, uh-huh.
And they were like, "What? Who is this?" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" Because like
Oh
the
my
radio,
gosh.
I were listening to radio for whatever reason, and I was like, "You've never heard this?" No, okie dokie. So I just kept letting it play, and I was like, "This is Limp Bizkit." They're like, "No way!" I'm like, "Yeah, this is what they used to sound like," and then everything else happened after that. So.
Yeah, I remember. I forget. I think it was after we went to Italy, and I was just like, I talked to my friend Charmaine, and I'm like, "Oh, you need to hear this band." And I played that their version of Faith, and she's like, "This is awesome." And I'm like, "Yeah, isn't it?" And oh man, things fell apart very quickly after that.
That's it.
Oh man, yeah, things went sideways in a hurry.
Yeah, they were just fun, and
Yes.
then that's not like that version is just goofy as hell. So I was like, whatever. But then, whatever else happened after that. So, yeah, and oh, you know what? It took me till just recently to figure out what the fuck a chocolate starfish was. With my dirty ass mind, it took me till the age of 47 to figure out what a chocolate starfish was.
I guess I didn't think about it too much, but okay.
Yeah. Now I'm not sure where the hot dog flavored water comes in, but what?
Yeah, yep, that should have sunk in way earlier.
But even then, it's like, that was the band that we thought was cool? Like, okay. You know. There's always, like, you know, they always say the second album's the hardest one to write.
Yeah, they're, you know what, was I that offended by the second one? Yeah, because that was Nookie and everything, wasn't it?
I think. The most offensive second album I've ever heard was Sugar Ray's. That's when they had Fly and all that bullshit on there after the first one that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, I remember watching a video going, what is this?
I still don't mind that song itself, but it was... And honestly, the album was still kind of hard, except for all of the hits. Like, they had, like, 4 radio hits on that album. And, like, the rest of the album was good. So I did kind of like that one, but, oof, things went south very quickly.
Yeah, I'm going to have to figure it out. I'll have to re-listen to it. It's been a long time, so.
Yeah, it's been quite some time since I listened to that one. And I've been going through, like, I was pumped today when I saw that Godflesh came out with a dub remix of a bunch of their songs. I'm like, yeah, I'm in. And I listened to that most of the way home until I was interrupted by a phone call unceremoniously by my younger brother.
Oh, yeah. Bozo's coming in town this week, and that's nice.
Yeah.
So.
But Godflesh is one that was a high school one. I don't know if I listened to it that much in college, but Godflesh was fucking awesome.
That's one of the first times I ever heard you mention them.
Or
only time. So I would say college was a no. So.
Yeah. Well, they were one of those first industrial bands, and they used a drum machine. There was a real anti-drummer bias in my group of musical friends that played punk and heavy metal. They always made fun of him for being the stupidest one in the band.
Jesus Christ. We're drummers.
Yeah, the drummers really took a beating in our area. And I don't know why, because the drumming is pretty much the most important part of both punk and heavy metal. Like, it's almost more important than the guitar playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, especially with punk. Depending on how fast you're supposed to be playing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's just like, man, why did they... Like, now I'm like, why did they put up with so much shit? Like, they're the reason the band is really playing.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, there hasn't been... So, real quick, and I don't even know how long we've been going. Oh, yeah, wait, I actually checked for a change. I forgot.
Yeah, it's been long enough to wrap up without even talking about NXT.
NXT was so unnewsworthy. Outside of they didn't have Cross in front of a live crowd, and Joe was awesome. Joe's always awesome. Actually, Austin Theory was pretty great this week.
He definitely showed more of why people had a lot of... Like, I know that you've always talked about seeing him in Evolve and maybe some other organizations. Was he in MLW at all, or...?
No.
Okay. Then it was just Evolve. Like, I didn't really get to see a lot of his work there, and he's had such a start-stop to his character on NXT that it's been, to me, hard to evaluate him, but... I think the match this week definitely showed why a lot of people like you are pretty hyped on him.
Yeah. And, well, see, when he was in Evolve, he was a bad guy. I mean, he was a dick. It was actually pretty interesting because he was doing meet and greets, and he was okay with people. So he was trying to stay in character, but also, you know, people are smart enough to know, all right, he's probably not this big of a dickhead. But, yeah, that's just how he was.
Yeah.
So to see him doing this goofy shit is, you know, it's kind of eye-opening. That Because I think he's only 22, 23. Like he's young.
Yeah, he's still, yeah, he is super young. Like,
they brought him to the main roster so quick. I was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, he's got some time.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. He is one of the few guys that, what, he's probably still been on WWE TV for 2 years at this point.
Yeah, because he was at Rusty was in WrestleMania last year.
Okay, yeah. So, and he's only like 24. Like, as much as I've made fun of their roster for being old, like, he is one of the true, genuinely young people on the roster. And I guess if you think that he's going to stick around for the next decade plus or something, I guess he can stand to dick around a little bit right now. But I do really enjoy his role right now as Gargano lackey. Like, he didn't have much of a character, and obviously he will probably change and adapt as things move along in his career. But I do think that this stint in the way has kind of helped give him a direction to move, because he was pretty aimless before that.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't get called up to the main roster with nothing to do. But whatever. It's just stupid. Anyways. That's enough. We can get out of here. The AEW CM Punk Daniel Bryan, or now Bryan Danielson talk is, you know, starting to heat up. But
I laughed when someone's like, oh, this is 100%. And I'm like, I'll believe it's 100% when he shows up on the TV, guys.
Yep.
Like, that's all there is to it. Like, because I feel like I saw, like, oh, before we got on here, like, CM Punk is basically confirmed. I'm like, no, not, I'm not taking basically. Like, until he shows up, it's not happening. And will I be in a lot of ways, like, that CM Punk is one that I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's been that long.
7 years.
Yeah, I'm like, holy Moses, that is a long ass time for someone to be away. And not saying that he can't wrestle, but I don't care about CM Punk now the way that I did then.
No.
And I guess I expect good matches out of Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson, whatever he ends up, if he ends up moving over to AEW. But, you know, he was so successful in WWE, it's like, I don't quite get it. Like, in a lot of ways, I get Chris Jericho. Like, he can brag about beating The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the same evening in the WWE. But I'm just going to say he never broke that ceiling that Daniel Bryan did. You know, I mean, Daniel Bryan became a national phenomenon.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there were people at every fucking school doing yes chants. Like, it was so out there. Like, so, yeah. I don't know what else he can do. Like, I guess he might have a little more creative freedom, and that might be kind of nice. But he's never going to get to where he was with the WWE.
Well, the thing is, Daniel Bryan in AEW is huge for them.
Oh, yes.
You know, CM Punk, you know, coming back to wrestling is huge for AEW, who's now steadily pushing almost 1 million viewers a week. I mean, that's not far off from what Raw's doing, you know?
Oh, right.
So if you can get these guys and be like, hey, this is what's going on, I'm like, wait, what? Like, for real? So the problem is, they have so many people on that roster, they've got to start chopping some. And when do Cody, the Bucks, and all that become the bad guys having to make management decisions? That's the interesting part of all this to me, is when Kip Sabian's like, no, Kip, you got to go. Sorry. Joe Janela, sorry. Thanks for being here. You got to go. This is the kind of stuff that I'm interested in with all this stuff. So.
Yeah.
But we'll see how it plays out. We don't know. We're not going to know until September, supposedly, for Brian Danielson. Man, I just got used to saying Daniel Bryan. Now it's back to Brian Danielson. So.
Well, I didn't know him really much as Brian Danielson. So. I feel like it's come off okay on the pod. Here, but yeah, I mean, I guess I'd look forward to him having some matches against some people that I haven't seen, and well, yeah, I guess I'd be a little more invested in him just because I know that I've seen his recent in-ring track record, and it is still fucking exceptional.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like, because I know that he's been another guy who. He has definitely cut some weight from his yes movement days, but he's still in really good shape for a guy that's all of 5'8" at best.
Yeah, or 6'1", whatever they said he was. Which is funny to say, like, they're like, oh, this guy's 6'1", he's short. Like, that's not that short.
Oh, know? Like, yeah, I'd take 6'1". It would add 4 inches of height.
Oh, you tiny ass people! I know.
So. Yeah.
No, it's still funny. I'm 6'3", whatever, and I'm still the shortest guy in my family. So.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Giants, my friend.
So. The Italians do not get very tall.
No, you don't. And pasta doesn't make you grow for shit. Get it? No, guys, we gotta get out of here.
Okay. Bell Time Beer on my end. Sideswipe Brewing. Sticky Wicket Barley Wine. Aged in OYO rye barrels. And this thing is pretty delicious. The more I've consumed it, the more I've liked it. I just don't think that I had a lot of barley wines, so I was not familiar with the flavors and the taste of it. And it kind of reminds me a little bit of Scottish strong ales and things of that nature. It kind of almost has a little peat mossiness to it, like a very natural kind of graininess to it. And it almost has a dark beer vibe.
Yes, most barley wines do.
So yeah, I'm kind of cool with that. Like, it's kind of weird. I don't drink as many dark beers because the wife has taken over the dark beer category, and I've kind of drank less of them. But yeah, barley wines. I think this is the last one of the six pack of the Sticky Wicket that I got I think it was only a 4-pack that I got from their anniversary earlier this year. So Sideswipe Brewing, I might be visiting it this weekend since my brother had a couple of tasty beverages on my account from them. So we shall see, but definitely one of my favorite breweries here in Columbus.
Nice. I didn't drink. I had a Gatorade, so I had to.
Yeah, I have vitamin water as my backup, so.
Yeah, we're back to lifting heavy, and it's hot. So all the weight I've lost, I've gained 5 pounds since I started lifting again. Waistline is still the same, so I'll take it. That's all I'm going for, so.
Okie dokie. At DeFranco11, at Granny Mays, brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at such places, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and many other fine purveyors of podcasts. And have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.